now for the symbolism of offerings in the Mahayana. When we come to the Mahayana, we find that offerings are divided into two groups: internal offerings and external offerings. Internal offerings are represented by the five senses, the five physical senses. And external offerings are represented by the seven things which are offered, according to Indian tradition, to the honored guest. Now, the five senses are, of course, sight, hearing, smell, taste, and touch. And each sense is represented by a particular object, a particular offering, which is placed on the altar. Sight, the sense of sight, is represented by a mirror, usually circular in shape and made of metal. Hearing is represented by a small pair of cymbals or a bell. Smell is represented by an incense stick. Taste is represented by a sacrificial cake made of dough. And touch is represented by a roll of silk. And these five objects are placed, are arranged on the altar. And sometimes there's a sixth one added, the sixth item being a page of printed text, better to say, of the scriptures. And the page of printed text represents the sixth sense or mind. So we can see quite easily the significance of these offerings, the five senses. They're a reminder, when we see the objects representing them on the altar, a reminder that in the Mahayana, at least, the senses themselves must be dedicated, must be devoted to the attainment of enlightenment. In other words, one must be dedicated, one must be devoted on every level of one's being. Not just the mind, not just the emotions, but even the physical senses themselves must be involved in the spiritual life, in one's progression to enlightenment. Now, the external offerings of the Mahayana are represented, as we've already mentioned, by the seven things offered to the honored guest. So what are these seven things? According to ancient Indian tradition, the seven things are, first of all, water for drinking, then water for washing the feet, then flowers, then incense, then lamps, then perfume, and finally food. And sometimes an eighth item is added, and the eighth item is music. Now, these seven or eight external offerings of the Mahayana are based on an ancient Indian custom or tradition. Suppose someone turns up at your house. That is, in India, in ancient India, even in modern India. Suppose some visitor or traveller turns up. How would you receive him? How do you receive him? How would you entertain him? Well, in the Buddha's day, even in modern times, when someone turns up, when the guest arrives, the traveller arrives, maybe coming a long way, maybe on foot, in the heat of the sun, he's usually very thirsty. So the first thing you do when someone turns up is to offer a drink of water. And of course, if he's come on foot, maybe barefoot, his feet in the hot climate, that's very cooling, very refreshing. So you sprinkle him with rose water or something like that. And then when he's really relaxed and recovered from the tiredness of the journey, you serve food. And of course the traditional Indian way of serving is, you don't sit down and eat with your guest, you're far too busy looking after him. He sits down all by himself, and you, your wife, your children, all the other members of the family, they all serve. And there you are just sitting in the midst with everybody coming with little dishes and little delicacies on the little dishes, and you're just slowly stuffed. Huh? There's no other word for it. Huh? And then when you've been fed to absolute repletion and have perhaps been given betel also to chew, if it's a fairly cultured family, especially if it's a family with a few teenage daughters, you'll be entertained with music. One of the young ladies will go and fetch her veena, or perhaps her sitar nowadays, and she'll play. And you'll be entertained in this way. And as I've already said, this whole procedure nowadays in India, in many places, in many families, is still kept up. And I may say, striking a note of reminiscence, that I've experienced all of this in many different parts of India quite a number of times. Now, this might sound all rather exotic and all rather oriental, but it isn't really so, because we can see that there are rather obvious parallels with our own, even contemporary, Western social customs and practices. Because even here, I mean, even in the benighted West, if someone comes to see you, what do you do? What happens? Well, just as in India, though maybe not to the same extent, you make him welcome. You may not offer a glass of water, you may offer tea instead, or a cigarette. You may not offer water for him to wash his feet. You may instead ask him if he'd like to wash his hands. You may not light a candle or a little oil lamp, you'll just switch on the electric light. Though of course we know that in some circles nowadays electric light is out and candles are in fashion. And then of course you feed him, offer him food, and having fed him, after the meal probably you'll put on the record. So even here we have our own way of treating an honoured guest. Now, coming back to the actual religious offerings, we find in Tibet, even now, that on special occasions, the seven external offerings, water to drink, water for washing their feet, and so on, are offered in kind. The actual things themselves are put there on the altar. They're arranged in a row on the altar. First, going from left to right, there are two bowls of water. One, of course, for drinking, one for washing the feet. Next, there comes a bowl of rice with a flower stuck in it. Now, it so happens that there are not very many flowers in Tibet. Not very many flowers grow there, it seems. So the Tibetans generally use a big, flat, papery sort of seed that comes from the flame of the forest tree. And it's known as a white flower. And then, next comes a bowl of rice with lighted incense sticks stuck into it, usually three in number. Then, a lighted butter lamp. After that, a bowl of perfumed water. And last of all, a sacrificial cake on a plate. Or sometimes, instead of the sacrificial cake, there's a bowl of rice with a small fruit on top. If the eighth item, that is to say music, is added, then right at the end, you'll find a small pair of symbols just lying there. Now, these seven items are offered, as I've said, in kind on special occasions, are arranged on the altar in a row on special occasions, but on ordinary occasions you'll find just seven bowls filled with water. And these represent the seven external offerings of the Mahayana. But whether these seven external offerings of the Mahayana are offered in kind or simply in the form of seven bowls of water, the significance of the offerings is the same. It means that we're treating the Buddha as a guest, an honored guest. We're inviting him into our home. Just as we might have invited him 2,500 years ago, had we actually met him. And having invited him, once he takes his seat, as it were, in our home, we're giving him our best. We're expressing our gratitude for the teaching. And I may say that in the East, very often, people actually feel this when they are making offerings. Whether it's the simple lighted candle, flowers, an incense stick at the Theravada, or whether it's the more elaborate external offerings of the Mahayana, but in the East, when people make these offerings, they feel very strongly, very deeply. They feel as though the Buddha is actually present. They feel as though they are actually entertaining the Buddha, actually receiving him. And sometimes, as I've seen myself, people can be very deeply moved indeed on such occasions, feeling that the Buddha is actually present, that they're actually making offerings to the Buddha, that they're entertaining the Buddha. And it may be, if we're honest, we have to admit that it isn't very easy for us to enter into this sort of feeling. Perhaps to us it isn't even quite natural. If we don't find it easy, if we don't find it natural, we shouldn't force ourselves into it, but just try to appreciate how other people in the East, feel and understand the general principle involved, expression of gratitude to the Buddha for the teaching, and try to practice in our own way, in accordance with our own temperament and our own cultural tradition.